good morning.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to be here again, 2 weeks in a row. And I have a few things that I'd like to say before I get into my sermon, a little word of instruction, if you will. When we get to the prayers of the people, I will invite the congregation to kneel. And I know some people like to stand for that, and that's okay. I would like us to be able to kneel together, and especially if you do stand for the prayers, would you kneel for the confession? I feel it's very appropriate that when we come before the Lord and confess our sins, that we do so as a body together. So if you would humor me, and let's kneel together when we confess our sins. And when we get to the prayer of consecration for communion, I'm going to ask that the congregation remain standing for that part, because I think it's important for us as Christians that we celebrate together. And one of the few visual things that we do in the Episcopal Church that indicate the priesthood of all believers is that I will invite you to stand for the prayer of consecration. I know some of you do kneel, but again, if you would humor me in this, and let's stand together as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. So just a few words of instruction ahead of time. I was going to save that for the announcement, but I've got some other announcements to give in the announcement time, so we'll save that for later. I'd like to say a few things about our gospel reading this morning. Jesus has some very stern words to say. I find it interesting that we get through a passage that says, "I'm going to come with fire. You're hypocrites. You can read the signs in the earth and the sky, but you can't read the present age, the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Does that strike you as a bit jarring? I know it does for me, that here the Lord himself has just issued out some very stern, rebuking words, and we say, "Thanks be to God." Now, that's not unfounded. There's a reason why we say that. And I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. But before I do, let's take a moment and bow our heads and pray together, shall we? Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We are your people. And we have not just come to church, but we are the church. Father, we trust and ask that you will be present in our midst. Would you minister to us, Father? Would you stir our hearts and quicken our minds to receive from you grace and mercy and truth as you reveal yourself to us in your scripture and by the power of your Holy Spirit? And I ask this in your Son Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus says in our reading this morning, "I've come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled." And he goes on to say, "Do you think that I've come to bring peace? No, but rather, in fact, division." Now that probably strikes you as a bit jarring. This is a teaching, these are words of Christ that, well, quite frankly, they're not very Jesus-like of him, are they? We like Jesus to say nicer things than that. We like to put Jesus in a very comfortable box. You know, a box like a Christmas ornament that we take out once a year, look at it and say, "Oh, remember Aunt Margaret gave that to us back in 78. Isn't that nice?" And put it back in the box and feel warm and fuzzy and put it away again. And our nature always likes to do that to Jesus. We're always trying to put him in boxes that are comfortable for us. And then along comes something that Jesus does and says, like what we read this morning, and kind of breaks that box apart. "What do you mean by that, Jesus? You came to bring fire and not peace. I thought you were supposed to be the Prince of Peace. What's going on here? I'm all confused now." Maybe those thoughts are running through your mind. But what I want to do is I would like to say a little bit about Jesus. not a human being. He's not a man that the person they're talking about is a lion. And what do the children say? What's their first question when they realize this? Don't you know that what the king of beasts is? You mean he's a lion? And they said, and the beaver said, well, of course he's a lion. The lion. And what's the very next thing the children say? Oh, good, I hope he's cuddly and fuzzy. No. The first thing they say is he safe? Is it safe to be around him? He's a lion. And what do the beavers say? What's their response? Oh, yeah, he's pretty quiet. You know, just don't talk about taxes and you're good to go. Don't talk about religion or politics in front of Aslan. He's fine. No, they don't say that. They say, of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king. And we have to remember that Jesus is not safe. But he's good. I think C.S. Lewis was really onto something when he wrote that passage. But what is it about Jesus that's not safe? Well, he does a couple things that are bothersome to us. The first thing that Jesus does that is jarring and offensive is that he has some pretty outrageous claims about himself. Jesus never claimed to be just a teacher, a moral philosopher, walking around sharing universal truths and brotherhood. That's a box that lots of people like to put him into. Lots of theologians, in fact. But Jesus never claimed to be that. His followers did call him rabbi and teacher. But you know what he told them? He said, don't call anybody rabbi. He said, because you have one teacher, your Father in heaven. He says, don't call anybody father. Except for your Father we have. Father in heaven. Jesus claimed to be nothing less than God himself. He claimed to have the power to forgive sins, the power to raise the dead, and the power to heal sickness. Now either he was nuttier than squirrel heaven, or he was telling the truth. That was a joke, nuttier than squirrel heaven. I think that's very funny. But maybe I just have a weird sense of humor. Either Jesus was telling the truth about himself, and his witness and his words and the scriptures were reliable, or he was crazy, or he was lying. And again, that's C.S. Lewis. If you read New Christianity, he talks about that. Lord, liar, or lunatic. You can go and read more about that later. But Jesus made claims about himself that don't allow us to say, he was just a nice teacher. And can't we all just get along and agree that we're just supposed to be nice to each other? Isn't that what Jesus taught? Well, I would love for us to read more about Jesus. Because what do you do with passages like the one today? Jesus says things that are very offensive about himself and what he came to do. That's the first thing. Jesus also comes and reveals to us God's holiness, his righteousness. Jesus says, I came to bring fire to the earth. our judge. And it is most fitting for the judge to uphold that which is just and holy and righteous. If you've ever been to court, you want the judge to be just, don't you? Especially if you're standing before him. And Jesus reveals to us the utter holiness and righteousness of God. And he unpacks that more fully in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, look, you've got to be perfect like your Heavenly Father is perfect. But what we always want to do, as sinners, is lower the bar. Remember, if all else fails, lower your standards. Right? That's human nature. Why do we do that? Because it makes us feel better about ourselves. Well, I can't clear that bar of holiness, but bring it down just a little bit. Well, I can clear that. And if God let us do that, it wouldn't say much for him, would it? But it sure makes us feel better. Because it lets us feel righteous about ourselves. That at the end of the day, we can do something to earn God's favor. Or where God has to be in a position to say, well, you've been nice and not naughty, so here's your present. That's somebody else. You know who I'm talking about. That's not God. And Jesus comes and shows us that God is in fact righteous and holy. And he will come in fire. And that's troubling. It really is. We've got to let that sort of sink into it. So those are the two things that Jesus does and says are troubling. First, he makes some pretty outrageous claims about himself. And secondly, he reveals a holiness from God that we can never attain to. But I want to close with the third thing. Remember I said that there's something that Jesus does that is comforting. And this Jesus, who is the righteous judge, the Holy One of God, is also the friend of sinners. Jesus got himself in all kinds of trouble with the self-righteous leaders of his day when he would spend time with those sinners. What's he doing with those sinners? Doesn't he know they're sinners? Actually, yeah. Jesus is far more aware of their sins than even those people. And this same Jesus, through whom all things were made, and by whom all things are made, is also our only mediator and advocate. And for those who trust in him, and who look to him for light and for life, he brings righteousness and forgiveness and healing. So that we, who are but broken sinners, are actually lifted up to heavenly places. Paul writes about that in Ephesians chapter 1. He says that we are seated in the heavenly places with Christ.